From WXXI News, I'm Evan Dawson, and this is Connections. Have you been voting by mail? How has the experience gone? A lot of people in our region are doing it. You've got three ways to vote this year. You can vote by mail, you can vote early in person now, or you can vote on primary and special election day. That's this coming Tuesday, June 23rd. Three ways to vote, and we've been bringing you conversations with the candidates in a lot of different races that are on the ballot. And one race in particular, we've had to split them up a little bit. The candidates for state assembly in the Democratic primary, there are four of them for the seat that has long been held by David Gant, who is retiring. You heard previously from Damon Meeks and Silvano Orsi. Then you heard from Ernest Flagler Mitchell. And now we welcome Ann Lewis to the program. Catching up with Ann about her candidacy, her priorities, her thoughts on police reform, and a lot more. And we welcome Ann Lewis now to the program. Thank you for making time to join the program. How are you?
I'm doing well, and how are you? And I'm glad that you gave me this opportunity. I have a busy schedule. I'm still teaching the Rochester City School District, and these last few days, in addition to tending to our students, we have a lot of professional developments we had to get done before the end of this week. So you may not know it, but I am the only full-time person who's working. So that's why your other candidates probably had a lot of free time to accommodate your schedule. And then there's been some personal issues, so I'm here now.
Well, it's nice to have you. And for the listeners who are not as familiar with your resume, we've asked all of the candidates to do this. Why don't you tell us about your professional background and then why you decided to run for the seat.
Okay, well, my professional background, well, I want to start off from the beginning. I was born in Montgomery, Alabama, so I'm a product of, riots in Montgomery. My father marched with Dr. Martin Luther King, so that's in my blood. I came to Rochester when I was very young, and I was raised on Columbia Avenue, and I graduated from Monroe High School. After that, I went on to Buffalo State College, got my bachelor's in sociology, and later a master's in education, and also in public administration. I've worked 16 years as a rehabilitation counselor for Monroe County Sheriff Department. Currently, as I said earlier, I'm teaching with the Rochester City School District. But after, prior to becoming a rehabilitation counselor, I worked as a victim service worker for the Rochester Police Department. Then, prior to that, emergency family assistant for the Salvation Army. I've lived in this area in Cornhill for 28 years. I've been on the Cornhill Neighborhood Association Board, on the board of Camp Stella Maris. I'm a member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority. I consider myself an advocate. I belong to Enum Baptist Church, but I have two church homes I consider, Enum Baptist Church and Mount Olive. So I'm in the community. I'm not a politician. I'm not long-winded. I'm a service provider. I'm a service advocate. I'm here to help my community.
Why do you think this particular seat is the one that suits your skills the best?
Well, as I said earlier, I have a master's in public administration, and I've been around a long time. I look young, but I've been around a long time. And what I've seen over the years is that the resources for District 137 have not been equally distributed. Say, for example, the district goes from Joseph Avenue to Clinton, Cornhill, 19th Ward, and all the way out to Gates. About a month ago, I went and helped with the distribution of masks in Gates, and the people out there, they were so welcoming and saying, no politicians ever come out here to find out our needs or even to try to help address our needs or concerns. So that's one of my priorities, in making sure all areas within District 137 have a voice and have an advocate. That's my goal. And I think with my background with public service, being in the jail, working in victim assistance, working in the Salvation Army. I'm a listener. I'm a listener, and I'm an implementer. I don't go around just have photo moments just to get my photo and say I did this and I did that. And people have said, Ann, you've done a lot, but I notice you don't take pictures because that's not what it's about. Not just for that camera, just to show, well, I was there, and then I'm gone. No, that's not what I'm about.
Okay, fair enough. Well, I want to ask you about one of the obviously hot issues of the moment that has generated a lot of debate on a lot of different levels of our community and in government. And some of the other candidates in the race also weighed in, so I will ask you, do you support on any level of government, whether it's advocating for local change or on the state level when it comes to policing, do you support defunding the police?
Okay, as I said earlier, well, as you know, I'm an educator. So a lot of people, when they say, oh, defunding the police, they don't really know what they're saying. Okay, defunding the police, also I need to tell you that I'm an Uber and Lyft driver. That's how I support my campaign. And some of the people that I pick up, they'll say, well, no, we don't want to defund the police. And then some might say, we do want to defund the police. Defunding the police is taking resources from the police department and reallocating it to programs. And as an advocate, it would be up to the people to decide if we want to do that. I hear factions on the news of individuals saying, well, I'm speaking for the people, and this is what we want. But I say to speak for the people, we need a vote by the people. Our general election will be in November. Let's put that issue on the ballot and see what the people do want. Like we put the issue for police accountability on the ballot and that passed. Let's see what the voice of the people want. Also, right now, and I know the mayor is not saying that she wants the defunding of the police, but she's doing her best to accommodate the body of people who are voicing this out, because she just cut the funding for, I think it's supposed to be, 38 police officers for the up-and-coming academy. Now it's going to be half that number, and she took that $800,000 to reallocate that to do an investigation to see what type of programs would work, research-based programs that would work if that money was taken from the police department and put towards different programs. Additionally, she cut the $130,000 in overtime spending, and an additional, she cut I'll round up, 4% for the police department. So she's listening, she's trying to accommodate, but we need to know what the actual voice of the voters are, our people. Hopefully, if that's placed on the ballot, more people will come out in November and vote.
Okay.
So we just have to see what's the will of the people. It's all about the will of the people, not what Ann Lewis want, what some of my candidates want. It's the will of the people.
No, I think that's fair enough. And part of the conversation I had with another candidate in the race was about the way that sometimes the media, even if well-intended, treats the view of the black community as if there is only one possible view or there isn't disagreement or debate. You know, in other words, well, what does black Rochester think about defunding the police? Well, black people in Rochester think this, as if there's only one possible opinion. And I take that to heart. I mean, I think nuance is important. Understanding and listening is important. What is your sense that the community that you would represent wants on this issue?
Again, as I said, it needs to be voted upon. I'm not a speaker just for the black community. I'm
sure
a speaker for the community at large. So, again, and I will stick to it, it's what the people want. I'm not going to say, well, the black community wants this and the white community wants that.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we had the first rally, my dear friend, I call him my son, we were in the front of the rally marching because we know that there needs to be changes made. And not only was there black people marching, there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of white people marching. So we need a vote. We need to let the people decide.
Okay. And if you are elected to this position, what is priority number one that you would take to Albany?
Well, priority number one that I would take to Albany would be looking at the general fund and see what we can do with that general fund to make sure Rochester gets its fair, fair resources. Just looking into the budget there in the general fund, say, for example, there's $14.3 million to restore $1 million for teachers to learn for computer training. That's good. A lot of the teachers coming now are straight out of college, and they really know their technology. And then in that same budget is $1.2 million to restore health services in the schools. We need to reallocate that money, put it back into the schools, have all the schools have health care services. I think we need to just really go into the budget and see where we can make cuts, see where it's wiser to place money in programs that are research-based programs that are working.
Talking to Ann Lewis, who is running for State Assembly in a seat that was long held by David Gant, who is retiring from that position. And, of course, the deadline for voting, whether you're early voting, voting by mail, you want to vote on the day, it's Tuesday, June 23rd. Now, when it comes to health care, would you support and would you vote for single-payer health care or the New York Health Act?
Okay, that's something you really have to investigate, okay? When you say single-pay health care, that means that the government pays for your health insurance. It's a form of Medicare. So are you saying to me that no longer will big businesses help with the funding of health care? Are you saying no longer will we have, and sometimes one of the drawbacks of having single health care is that you don't get a choice who your physician will be. There's long lines that you need to wait in for to be seen. I do strongly believe that everyone has a right to affordable health care, but everyone should add a little to the pot. Because when it's free, sometimes free is not always the best thing in life. It has been, stereotyped that some people just want to be given everything, and I take issue with that. I'll say a person of color. I work for what I want, and a lot of people out in society today want the opportunity to work for what they get. They're not looking for handouts, which is a stereotype of people of color. The stereotype is that we just want handouts. We want opportunities to make our own independence. We want access to start our own businesses. We want access to be great role models for our kids. Like my father had a gas station on Jefferson Avenue, store on Jefferson Avenue. Property owner made his own way, pulled his own self up, came from Alabama. And not just my uncle. My uncle did it. My Uncle Willie did it, has his own store. My cousin Emma had her own store. All of these individuals came from Alabama. None of them had a college degree, but they made their own way. And that's what we have to start believing in ourselves as people. Whether you're white or black, Asian, Hispanic, you can make your own way. The other day, I was in my Uber car, in my car, and drove an individual of Arab descent. And he said, you know what? You can do anything you want to do if you just try hard enough. Another thing we need to do so we can make our own way. We need to make sure our students can read. It's unfortunate that from kindergarten all the way to 12th grade, there are not reading programs in the Rochester City School District. And that's what we need to be successful. Reading is not just seeing a word. Reading is about understanding what's before you, applying that knowledge, making self-to-self connections, making self-to-world connections. There's the deficit. That's why kids are falling behind, because they don't have the opportunity. Additionally, yes, it's been a push for kids to go to school, and I've been saying this for years and years and years. It's been pushed to get a Regents diploma. Before you graduate from high school, everyone, and I mean everyone, needs to be equipped with a certification in a trade. Mandatory. So when you go to college, if you decide to go to college and you come back home and you can't get a job, you have something to fall back on. Mandatory. And then a lot of people, we need to have schools that are in our neighborhoods, but those schools in our neighborhood need to be equipped with research-based curriculum that shows that how teachers should be able to teach our kids. There's no consistency in the district, and that's sad. There's no consistency with educating our children, and that's sad. I've heard people say, oh, technology is the way. That's good and fine, but how to read and write is the way. How to add basic math is the way, and we're falling behind in that.
Talking to Ann Lewis, who is running for New York State Assembly, and so on this subject, of which you have obvious experience and expertise, how do you translate that in Albany? Is it increased funding? Is it more targeted funding for specific programs? Is it another way? What would you do in Albany?
It's increased funding, but if we increase our funding, we need to have a check and balance to see where that money is going. The mess that we have with the Rochester City School District should not have happened. We need accountability. We need research-based programs that work. We need to make sure there's equal distribution of resources, and it's not been happening, and that's unfortunate.
Well, and there's an issue that is still simmering in Rochester, and that's the question of governance of the district. Now, you know, obviously in the last year, the courts have weighed in on whether it was even legal to ask voters if they wanted to turn it over for possible state control, a state takeover of the school board, and essentially eliminating elected school board positions for the moment here. Mayor Warren wanted that to happen. It did not. Mayor Warren's chief of staff is running for state assembly in a separate district, and he has made that issue the center of his campaign, wanting even more than just a monitor, which was in the last budget for the school district, but still, yes, a state takeover, removing the school board. Do you support that?
This is what I do support. I support defunding the school board. If you really have our kids' interests at heart, why get paid for it? I didn't see one Rochester City School District board member say, I'll give up my pay. And if I missed it, I apologize. But a lot of districts around in Monroe County, they're not paid. Now, as far as state takeover, I would have to see some schools, some states where it's working. So it would be up to the people. Do we want the state to take over? And what would that look like? How would that improve our kids' learning? Who would be in control of that? That's my perspective. So it really depends on what it would look like and what the people's will is. For me, it's all about what is the people will. What do the people want? It's not about what Ann Lewis wants. What do the people want? What does the vote indicate? Put it on the ballot.
Do you think the school board has failed?
Oh, come on, yes. Of course they have. Yes, they have. And that's unfortunate. They fail. They fail to educate our kids. And say, for example, that school board stays in place. Take away their salaries. There should be term limits. We have school board members sitting on their resting, doing nothing. It's pitifully sad.
Okay, so let's turn to some other issues before our time is up with Ann Lewis, who is running for New York State Assembly. One of the important issues that's been raised in this particular race, in this campaign, is how to get more investment and how to bring more vibrancy of opportunity to your particular assembly district. How do you do that in a community that has seen Wegmans leave and so many others leave? How do you attract and bring those opportunities?
The key to any opportunities is money. We need to keep in place the New York State Startup Program for businesses. It has been refunded from until 2025, and then we need to put in place resources to help individuals who would love to have a startup business find the tools to say, for example, I want to start up a business, but I don't know how to write a business plan. We need to do that. Some people are timid. Part of the factors to start up the business, you have to partner with the college. You have to know how to create jobs with your business. We need people to teach us how to do that. You know, we need to bring more opportunity. We need to reach out to businesses like Wegmans. Wegmans does have a store in the city of Rochester. It's on East Avenue. But we need to say to Wegmans, why not they're on Clinton? Why not on Joseph? Why not on Jefferson? And then make them accountable. And then if those businesses do come to Jefferson, Clinton, Ms. Joseph, we all have shopped at Wegmans. We know they have good quality food, but the food is expensive also. So make it affordable.
Okay. Do you blame Wegmans for disinvesting in the city?
I would have to have spoken with a representative from Wegmans and find out their mindset, why they disinvest in particular areas of the city. I don't know, maybe their food was too pricey and they found that they weren't making a profit. I don't know. I would have to speak with a representative from Wegmans. You know, I'm just not going to assume anything.
Sure, fair enough. Fair enough. So when it comes to finding more resources in the state budget, we're obviously going through a national crisis with the pandemic. Governor Cuomo has said that the federal government needs to step up and help states, which will in turn be able to help local municipalities because budgets are hurting and only the federal government can deficit spend. Meanwhile, some Democrats have said that at the state level, there should be a new billionaires and ultramillionaires tax to raise more money and to sort of move toward more parity on the tax register. Do you agree with that?
I agree that people should pay their fair share. So if it's found that the billionaires and millionaires are not paying their fair share, then it needs to be reevaluated. And then we need to hold them accountable. I know that we have major contractors within the city of Rochester who are getting major tax breaks, and they're not paying their fair share. So if it's good for the billionaires and millionaires and we're requiring them to do so, we need to have these big major contractors who are putting all these buildings, apartment complexes up in the city of Rochester that people like me, I don't know your income, cannot even afford to move into. So it has to be equitable, and we need to find out where the money lies. What are they contributing to the city? Are they not? What are they contributing to the state? It appears that they're not.
Okay. And in our last minute or so of this conversation, we can't hit every single issue in 25 minutes with a candidate. We've covered a lot of ground. What haven't we covered that you want voters to know as they make their decisions?
What I want voters to know is that I am not a career politician. I have been an advocate all my life, and I've watched issues in Albany, say, for example, in our last, he's current. In Rochester, we had the red light camera policy. It was pushed by lobbyists, and we got it. And we got victimized by the red light camera policy. However, down in New York City, that same New York State assembly person didn't push for it to be in New York City. So we need equal access to resources. We need equal access to to policies, to legislation that don't hurt us. We need to open our eyes to personal agendas and not let those personal agendas affect how we are to govern ourselves. That's what's been going on for years and years and years. People implementing their own personal agenda. We need to stop fighting with the Democrats. We need to stop fighting with the Republicans. And we need to start being about the people again. That's what the people elected us for, being about them, being their voice, helping them. And that's not happening. It's not happening on the school board. It's not happening in Albany. And I'm running a fierce race. I work in the day. I do over and live at night getting money so I can send postcards out to get my message, because I'm genuinely concerned about helping the people in 137 and genuinely concerned about helping individuals in New York State at large. And it's just not happening. That's why people are rioting. That's why the unrest is here, because people are hurting. People's voices are not being heard, and that stops with me. I promise that stops with me.
Ann Lewis, running for State Assembly. I know it is a busy calendar for you. Thank you for making time for the program.
And thank you so much for allowing me to be heard.